My goal is God Himself. At any cost, dear Lord, by any road. Hello, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. Well, Happy New Year, everyone. You know, for some of you, today will be the starting point of a new journey. And whatever may be your journey, I wonder, what is your goal? Today, as we begin the new year, Kenneth helps us reflect on some of life's starting points.
Hi, everyone. It's really good to be with you. I trust you are thankful for what the Lord has brought you through the past year and are now ready to start the new one on a fresh note. And there's no better way than to do this by being refreshed by God's presence and to be reached by His Word right here with what we're doing on this program. And the title for our kick-off message for this new year is appropriately called Starting Points. Let me begin by reading to you a couple of verses from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, beginning from verse 10, where it's talking about the land that God had promised to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 10 reads, "For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year." That last bit is the phrase I want you to notice and take with you as we leave the past year behind and commence on this new year. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. Just as it was spoken of the land that Israel was to possess, so these words can be spoken and said of us as well. What an amazing and comforting thought it is to realize that God has His eye on us on every day of our lives from the beginning of the year through to the very end of the year. As we leave the old year behind us, let us start the new year by considering starting points. And we're going to do that through thoughts based on the journeys of Israel, as it is recorded in Numbers chapter 33. Let me read from Numbers chapter 33, beginning from verse 1. "These are the journeys of the children of Israel, who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord, and these are their journeys according to their starting points." So right there in verse 2, you will see where I got my title from. Starting points is mentioned twice in that verse. This chapter is really like a travel log of the various stages of the journeys of the children of Israel in the wilderness and desert over a period of 40 years. And it's a record to help them remember where they have been and what they have done. What were the mistakes they have made? What were the lessons they have learned? So that they can pass it on to subsequent generations. This was something that God had instructed Moses to do. But I want you to notice how significant the starting points were for each stage of the journey. You see, each stage of the journey, that's a phrase used in some of the newer versions of the Bible, they were marked out by their starting points, not their ending points. Notice that again in verse 2 where we have read, Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their starting points. So in other words, each stage or phase of the journey was marked out or defined by their starting points, not the ending points. So let's see these two things in their right perspective. So that's the first thing I would like to talk about, start and endpoints. There is a place for looking backward as well as looking forward. So let's look at each of these in turn. When we are trekking in unknown or unfamiliar territory, it is vital to know where you start out from. Your last known location has to be known as a reference point, especially if you have lost your way. So it's critical to know where you have started out from, even though sometimes you may not be quite sure where you're heading. And if you suddenly discover that you have lost your way, what do? You would begin to backtrack to where you started out from. And to do this, you need to look backward and retrace your steps. But the critical thing is to know where you started out from. Then there is also a right way of looking forward. Now, when you arrive at the next stop or staging point, it is not really home yet because you have not arrived at your final destination. Rather, it is an intermittent point. And therefore, it is the starting point of a new stage, the next stage of a long journey. It's not time for putting down roots. It's not the time to settle down permanently. It's only a staging point. You know, like the good old days in the American Wild West, where stagecoach travel was the norm. And this is where we get the phrase from. They had to change horses at such staging points. Or to use more contemporary terminology, which is used in the F1 car races, it's like a pit stop to rest and to refuel, change tires for the next lap. So while you can enjoy the short stop for refreshment, the prospect of moving on is never lost sight of. You're always thinking of the next stage of the journey. And if you are traveling on a holiday or a long trip, you never unpack fully if you know you're just going to spend the night at a particular place, because you realize this is not the end point, it's not the destination, but it's just the starting point of the next stage of your long journey. If after many hours on the road driving, or perhaps after a very long flight, I just want to break the journey by spending a night at a particular place. Once you check into the place where you're going to spend the night, I wouldn't imagine that you would unpack your whole luggage case, take out every bit of clothing that you have packed in, hang it out in the wardrobe, like you're going to stay there for the next few days or few weeks. You'd probably just do the minimum necessary and go to bed and just start out as early as possible the next morning. So this is the starting point of the next stage of your journey. It's not an end point. It's not your real destination. That's about start and end points. Let me now go on to talk about moving and staying. We come across these repetitive words like departed, moved, camped throughout the travel log entries in Numbers chapter 33. For example, let me read some of them to you. In verse 3, they departed from Ramesses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month. Then in verse 5, the children of Israel moved from Ramesses and camped at Succoth. Verse 6, they departed from Succoth and camped at Etham, which is on the edge of the wilderness. So we see this constant repetitive pattern. They departed, they moved, they camped. They departed, they moved, they camped. They were constantly on the move, with intermittent stops to rest and to reorganize as directed by God. And for them, this happened by the provision of a pillar of a cloud by day and of fire by night. In Exodus chapter 13, the last two verses, 21 and 22, we read how God led them by this means. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now let's see how this worked out for them in experience as they moved from point to point and place to place throughout their journeys. In Numbers chapter 9, verse 15 through to 23, we are given an explicit idea of how This worked out for them on a day-to-day basis. Now, this pillar of cloud by day and fire by night is a powerful representation of what the Holy Spirit does for us in guiding us along our spiritual journeys for today. But notice how the children of Israel had to be obedient to the guidance of God through His commands. In verse 18 of the same passage, we read, "At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey, and at the command of the Lord they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped." And as to the time factor, that was all they heeded, God's time, not whether or not it's nice here or convenient there. For example, we read in verse 19, "Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey." Verse 20, "So it was when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days." So whether it is for long, for many days, or for a few days, it didn't matter. Or for that matter, even if it was for one day, in verse 21, "So it was when the cloud remained only from evening until morning." Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey. So what's the whole point of all this detail? Well, it's this. It's in obedience to God's instructions, to His indications, to His commands to us through the Holy Spirit today. And whether it is for 1 year, for many days, for a few days, or even for one day, it doesn't matter. The principle is the same. The decision of where and when to stop or to start, to make camp or to break camp, was made by following closely the leading and the prompting of God through the Holy Spirit and through the Scriptures for us today. Like the cloud and the fire for Israel of old, God's guidance for us today can also be a very real and clear experience. So stay sensitive. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit to learn how to move in sync with the Spirit. Learn to live your lives in harmony with and synchronize to the will of God. This is not something outside you, but it's something that is within you. The former General Director of the Overseas Missionary Fellowship, J. Oswald Sanders, pointed out the great but subtle difference between these two things, between planning to move but being prepared to stay, and planning to stay but being prepared to move. The question is, which is our dominant disposition? As strangers and sojourners on the earth, we should be movers, not settlers primarily. So we have talked about start and end points, about moving and staying. Let me next talk to you about Maras and Elims. These are the names of two particular places or intermittent stops that the children of Israel made early on in their journey. In fact, these were the first two stations after their crossing of the Red Sea. In Numbers chapter 33, where we started out from, we read about this in verses 8 and 9. We stopped reading last in verse 8, where they camped at Marah. And then in verse 9, it says, "They moved from Marah and came to Elim. At Elim were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there." But they didn't stay there for all time. In the next verse 10, it says, "They moved from Elim and camped by the Red Sea." Now, we notice that only Elim has some description here. In fact, the name Elim simply means palm trees. This was a place where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. These were really desirable things. This is what you would call an oasis in the middle of a desert. It's like heaven on earth. But the details of what transpired at these stages are given to us in Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through to 27. Let's read them. "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. So just 3 days into the wilderness, there was no water supply until they came to the waters of Marah. And the name Marah means bitter. So this was a place of bitter waters. The water they found there was not drinkable or potable. Verse 23 reads, "Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah, and the people complained against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. And there he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them." So what was initially and naturally unpalatable and undrinkable was made sweet or drinkable by casting a tree that God had shown to Moses. And this represents the cross. When we can take up the cross in any bitter situation, it can sweeten the circumstances and turn it right around to work out for good according to the will of God. God had to continually test them, prove them, and teach them, because they apparently have not really learned, because there were innumerable complaints time and time again. There will be bitter waters to test, as well as pleasant and delightful wells of water on our journey. There will be dry patches and stretches, as well as shady spots and oases in the desert. There will be Marahs as well as Elims on our journeys. Don't complain, but embrace the cross so that we can turn the bitter waters sweet. Be thankful, but don't be stuck in a comfortable place. After a Marah encounter, there will be an Elim experience. There will be both places of testing as well as places of blessing. Now, naturally, I'm sure we would be glad to leave Marah behind, but sad to leave Elim. And in the same way, we would be sad to arrive at a place like Marah and be really happy to arrive at a place like Elim. But they just had to move on. And so must we if we are on the spiritual journey with God. This is what Madame Jean Guyon, the 17th century great devotional writer, wrote, which became a hymn. "All scenes alike engaging prove to souls impressed with sacred love. Wherever they dwell in thee, in heaven, in earth, and on the sea." Finally, let's talk a little bit about Mount Horeb and Mount Seir. And we come across these two mountains in Deuteronomy chapter 1. First, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6, "The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, 'You have dwelt long enough at this mountain.'" Now, Horeb means waste. Mount Horeb was the place where the law was first given to Israel through Moses. And it's often used synonymously as Mount Sinai. Now, this was the start of their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And Mount Horeb is about staying. In verse 6, where we have read, it says, "You have dwelt long enough at this mountain." You have stayed here long enough. And then in the next verse 7, it says, "Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain," and so on. In other words, the exhortation here is to turn and take your journey. It's time to enter and possess the land of promise. Don't overstay your time or welcome or purpose at any stage or location because of unbelief. It's time to move on. You know what an overstayer is? It's one who stays beyond the expiry or validity date of the visa or God's time. So you don't want to be an overstayer in God's time and purposes. The other mountain that I would like to look with you at is called Mount Seir. We come across this in chapter 2 of Deuteronomy, where we read in verse 1, "Then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke to me, and we skirted Mount Seir for many days. And the Lord spoke to me, saying, 'You have skirted this mountain long enough. Turn northward.'" Now the name Seir means rough and wooded. This is a mountain range of Edom, And this applied at the end of their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And what's Mount Seir about? It's about skirting, just as Mount Horeb was about staying. Now, skirting means to go around in circles. We have read in verse 3 of chapter 2, you have skirted this mountain long enough. Turn northward to possess the land, in other words. So they were going round in circles. They were tramping up and down the desert and all around. They were not making any more headway. And you only go around in circles if God specifically directs you, as Israel was in the capture of Jericho. They circled Jericho 7 times. And other than that, this kind of skirting or going around happens when we are undecided or vacillating in taking a step by faith. We're going over the same old ground, the same old thoughts, points and reasons and arguments and anxieties. Now, in both instances of Mount Horeb and Mount Seir, it was time to make a move on. Now, this is hard for the flesh, for the natural man, because it takes faith to possess what has been promised. The danger and tendency of staying put rather than striking out is there. It's easy to be lulled into a false sense of ease and comfort and complacency. We love familiarity and security. You know, if you have found a nice mountain hideout or retreat, you'd rather be there, won't you? Mountains are places of refuge. They are vantage points. They are high peaks. So therefore, they are nice places to be in. But it could also be the opposite, because the names of these two places, Horeb and Seir, indicate rough and waste places, and they can be just that. Both senses can result in the failure to possess the land. Instead of getting up quickly and moving on, we can sink into a state of despair, discouragement, and inaction. We become resigned and overcome by inertia. So if you feel you're lost in the woods or are in a rough place, or you have wasted your opportunities, don't grovel or grumble, but get a move on. Look ahead to the next stage. Treat the present position as a starting point and a stepping stone, so that you are on a journey, you're on the move, you're not static or stagnant. And wherever you find yourself in life's journeys, however long you may remain there, know that this is not the end point, but the start point of the next stage. And as you go on, may you be continually refreshed by God's presence and be reached by His wonderful Word.
Sometimes as we walk the road on which God has placed us, we may feel lost or disoriented. When that happens, Ken says we need to look back to our starting point. That becomes our reference point to help us move forward, confident that God will bring us to the goal. Thank you, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And tomorrow, Kenneth begins a 2-part series called I Know Your Works. Just before we leave you, just let me tell you how you can be in contact with us, because we want to hear from you. Maybe you have a comment or a question on the program. You can send us a text message, and that number is 9431-3813. Or you can write to us, and the address is Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore 915-714. We also have a web address, www.timesofrefreshing.asia. And we have all of our programs online for you to listen or for you to download to your smartphone or to your MP3 player. And you can also go to that same website to subscribe to the Times of Refreshing podcast for automatic download through iTunes. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.